This meeting is being recorded.
This meeting is being recorded. Welcome back to the Bodie Bros. I am, as always, John with Jay.
And I am Phoenix Ray.
We welcome you back. We decided to do another video review podcast. So Ray has expertly chosen one out of a sea of a billion YouTube offerings, or however many billions, plural, I'm sure, at this point. And he picked one out, which is kind of cool because if you think about it, if you're searching for material online to be inspired by or just you want to be entertained, whatever the case may be, you want to learn something, Ray is actually doing some heavy lifting for you because he sorts through a bunch of videos and then intuitively picks videos, plural, that just feel good for him and tries to keep them, you know, around the 10-minute mark too, which is great because maybe you don't necessarily want to get sucked in to experimenting with my mic, folks. Just bear with me.
That definitely sounds better the closer you are.
Oh, really? So I should record the whole episode like this, doing the rock away and leaning back.
I'll
get there. Maybe I'll hang it somehow someday. But anyway, so if you don't want to invest 20, 30 minutes, an hour, or get sucked in that rabbit hole, when we do this series, it's a great way to just, boom, 10 minutes. You can watch the video and then listen to what these two crazy cats have to say about it. And this one was called Chai and Chet, which I gather is a
series. Well, that's the name of the series.
Right, it's number 12.
There's a series of interviews that people do, and they sit with Krishnadas, and they ask them questions, and then they make videos off that. So this one is Unconditional Love and Romance.
Right, and it's number 12. You picked my favorite number, so I love that. And let's talk, we always do. We talk about the video, and then we talk about how the video affected us. The experiences that have unraveled since being affected in one way or another by this video. Ray, I'll start with you because I struggled with this video at first.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of the stuff he says in this video is good, but it's not that I disagree with it. It's just that there could be more said. So somebody was asking the question about unconditional love and romance, and he goes right off there and says romance love doesn't work. But he does explain it depends on where you're coming from. Most of us approach a relationship, which I pretty much through our first three chakras. We're looking for security. We're looking for comfort. We're looking for sexual pleasure. We're looking for some sort of gratification that we're going to get out of this. And it's not a right or wrong, good or bad. It's not a judgment of we all have needs, and that's fine. That's just the way it is as humans. But if we're approaching it only from those lower planes of consciousness into a relationship and we think that someone's going to fulfill us and we get this ideology of a soulmate and it's going to be like all this heaven on earth, we sort of set ourselves up for problems. Now, it doesn't mean that unconditional love and romantic love can coexist. See, they both can coexist equally, unconditional love and a romantic relationship. It doesn't have to be, it's not one or the other. But he was kind of approaching it, if you're coming from all these hungry desires and you think that you're going to get all this fulfillment from somebody and someone's going to always be there to provide those for you.
Right.
You know, you're setting yourself up for failure, for disappointment. Right. And I wish you would kind of go a little bit more into saying that you can have your cake and eat it too. I think you definitely can have that. But it does take work. It does take working on yourself. And it goes into that later in the video about going, you know, the deeper you know yourself, the more available you are to yourself, the more available and the deeper you can have a relationship with someone else. You can meet somebody. It's kind of like you can only meet somebody at the depth in which you know yourself.
Right.
So he does kind of say that, but I wish he would have kind of just tied that in more with that instead of just being like, no, it doesn't work. Okay. Like next question. And
yeah,
that.
It was a very truthful offering coming from him.
right? Like his truth, not like the ultimate truth, right? Because none of us are ever going to know what that is, right? Like just stop being silly and thinking like you're gonna know one day, because none of us are. And that's what makes life so much fun and interesting, right? And it's also entertaining to watch those that think that they like, this is it. I've reached the finish line. Here is the answer. That's kind of laughable. But we're all teachers and students, right? And at first, I have no experience with this guy at all. So it was rubbing me the wrong way, because like you said, he started off saying, nope, you know, just use people. And, you know, just great. His phrase was grab whatever you can and then go. And I was like, wow, okay. Well, I'm going to watch the whole thing. But he does come back and say, it was a roller coaster for me, man. I mean, it was up and down. I was like, nope, you can't have it. But you can have it if you spend time with yourself and learn to love and accept yourself. Then there's a way that you can be with other people only by spending that time and clearing the space of all the conversations that we have in our mind, because there's no space for anybody if you have all these conversations going online. And it took me on this very confusing loop-de-loop, like I said, roller coaster. And I'm like, what was the purpose of this video? I know it's an interview. And the first three times she asked him a question or surmised what he said. She's like, so what you're saying is, I do that other person verse. So what you're saying is, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, it's not what I'm saying. So not even the interviewer who would probably spend some time with him prior to this understood what he was saying. And he's like, nope, you got that wrong. She's like, to make it succinct. And he's like, I already did that for you. And I'm like, what? So I watched this thing. It was only going to spend 10 minutes with it. I watched it like five times. So I spent close to an hour with this video, getting myself to a place of just allowing what this information was to flow how it came, right? And hopefully affect me in a way where I could pick some things and say, okay, this makes sense. Not to condemn the video or say, oh, I didn't appreciate, because we never do that. I think Ray and I treat every video experience as sacred. There's a teaching in everything from everyone in one way or another. And I don't think we've ever bashed a video, said, don't go watch this one, it's a waste of time. Like we'll say funny things or whatever. But that's not what we do here. It's basically just like we do our card pulls. We pull a card and we don't say, oh, this is the wrong card, or this is a stupid card or something right. Like that. We just talk about how the card makes us feel. It's just a conversation, like a diving board. And that's what this video was and all the other video reviews are, as a diving board for us to have this conversation. Now, I want to pose something to you. And this is what I was hoping, I had my own set of expectations for this relationship, was going to happen with this video, was they were going to address the debate, or the controversy around, there's no such, some people are saying this, spiritual teachers and just people in general are saying there's no such thing as unconditional love, right? So I thought it was going to be unconditional love versus romantic love. And it's not, it wasn't that. Because in the title, it clearly says and. It does not say versus, right? So, like, what is the difference, right? And can you have, and you already said you think you can you have both in a romantic relationship?
Yeah. Yes.
Why do you think so?
So, unconditional love means without condition. That means you love somebody regardless of what you get from them or what they give or not give you. Every single person that I have ever loved in my life, I still love. And that, you know, despite being betrayed, cheated on, lied to, mistreated, abused, everyone that I've ever held in love, that love is still there. It doesn't mean that I need to have a close relationship with them, or allow those people to mistreat me or abuse me again, because I also have love for myself. So that's a lot of time, that's what people are lacking, is that self-love. I'm not gonna put myself in harm's way, but that love is still there. doesn't mean I have an active relationship with them or I even talk to them, but that love is still there. So as long in once you open yourself up to, I think what in the very beginning, he says love is what's truth. Love is who we really are. It's not something between two people. It's not you're trying to get something from somebody. So who I'm with now, I know that I will always love that person. I know that I will always love you, John. Yes. That love will always be there. There's nowhere else it can go. Yeah. Because that love is always there, because I recognize who I am as love, and I recognize who you are as love. So there is no difference between me and there is no me and you on that level. Right. But because we're humans and we do have human needs, we a lot of times require a relationship to meet those needs, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're just basing it, your relationship of what I can get from another person, then that's where you get kind of out of sync, out of alignment, because now you're wanting that person to always constantly provide for you and always 100% be there. And it's not always going to work out that way. Things change in relationships. There's ups and downs, and maybe you're not meeting that person's needs. Maybe that, whatever those needs may be. And that's a lot of times to a lot of people, that's what a relationship is meeting each other's needs in some certain way. And there's not saying there's anything wrong with that, as long as you know that's what it is. But that love, that unconditional love, is still there. It's there. It's just kind of on a different level, kind of like how that ocean, we use that in that one for, you know, you have the depth of the ocean, you have the waves, and then you have the deeper parts of the ocean. It's, if you're really meeting somebody at a shallow depth, you know, that deepness of that level, it could be wavy, it could be rocky on the level of the ocean and, you know, huge waves. But, you know, you go deep down in the bottom of the ocean, it's calm, it's still, it's present. And that's always there, regardless of what's going on at the surface. That kind of clears things up.
He does address during the video. He didn't use the word reprogramming, but I will. Ourselves from our Western upbringings, right? And what we perceive relationships, romantic unions as, right? And yeah. And so we're setting, like you said, setting ourselves up for just, you know, disaster, failure. And he says the same thing, you know, because we build this picture, we have this thing, like, I want this, I want that. And then we go in, and when those few, we pick those things that we love and we grab onto that one person, and we're like, man, this is great. Now, if I can just tweak this, alter that, and this person can do a little less of that, more of that, boom, I got it perfect. I'm going to ride this into the sunset, right? And that is, I believe, the recipe for ultimate disaster.
Right.
Right? Like, it's just, now, can people shift, and should they change during the time of a relationship together? Well, absolutely. But I think that has to come by way of a just natural flow of interaction and being together and a personal wantonness to connect deeper, to understand more, to support in a way that feels, you know, better maybe for your partner one way or another. Not because they're like, well, I can't do this, or why can't you do this for me? Because then that's when we just start shredding one another, and that snowballs, and then it just becomes, I have to go somewhere else, or I'm not getting my needs met. Well, why does it go that way? Maybe because we don't initially launch into these relationships with the understanding and the foundation of, oh, this is a new person. Let's see what this person is all about. And if we decide, wow, I really am enjoying what this person is all about, I would like to expand upon this relationship and spend more time with them. And then you're like, wow, I really love this person. We're having the time of our lives, so forth and so on. Maybe I want to move in with this person so that we can share even more intimate moments and situations. Okay, great. I want to get married. Whatever the case of the evolution may be, right? But the whole time, just enjoying that person and getting to know everything about that person, not offering unsolicited, well, you know what you should do? Unless he, she, or they ask you, hey, I'm stuck in this place or with this thing. Do you have any insight? And then offer that, you know, advice, but not like, hey, you know what you should do? Because then you're trying to serve, you know, something that you need that's not being met, right?
Right.
And you're manipulating.
Yeah, that's why I was hoping you would get onto that.
Well, you didn't take me, because I don't know where I was headed here. And I was really, I was kind of nervous.
Well, I think what we're approaching a relationship, a lot of times we're approaching a relationship, and how can I get my needs met? And so we become manipulative in order to get that. We may say certain things that aren't really authentic, or we think that we have to change ourselves in order to meet that person's needs. We're not giving freely out of the heart. It's not spontaneous, because out of love is coming. It's transactional. I'll be good to that person. You know, I'll watch the movies they want to watch because I know what's going to happen after that if I'm good. You know, it's not because you actually care about that person and want that person to be happy. And it's not about their happiness being your happiness or any of that. It's not pure. It comes out of wanting something. And that's what manipulation is being fake in order to get what you want.
Right.
And the more pure you are, the more you're approaching it out of, I really love this person. I want this person to be happy. That person's happiness is my happiness. Seeing that person happy makes me happier than anything. And then what happens is a relationship becomes a spiritual practice for you, because you see all the stuff that's blocking you from being that person. A lot of times for me in relationships, it was actually receiving that was my problem. Yeah, you know, I had no problem loving other people or acknowledging their beauty, but I didn't like myself. Mm. And because I didn't love myself, I couldn't accept that love from other people fully. I would always think like, I wouldn't like that. No, I'm not. I'm not lovable. I'm not that. You know, I can't be that. And it wasn't until I started working on that and allowed that love to come in, and then it would be like, oh, wow. And then I had to be a better receiver, receiving love, and then I was able to give more love.
Mm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So a lot of that stuff, and a lot of times we approach relationships, we have traumas, we may have fear of abandonment. Mm. And that fear of abandonment would creep in a lot in my relationships. You know, if I didn't get a text, or if someone's being short with me, I would that fear would always pop up, like, oh my God, this person's going to leave me. This person forgot about me. I'm being neglected.
Right.
And so a relationship will bring all that stuff up. Nothing else will bring all that stuff up to the surface more than a relationship.
Right.
All that stuff that needs to be healed. So that relationship becomes a spiritual practice for you, and allowing that stuff, because you see how that stuff gets in the way of you loving the other person. And if you love that person so much and you want to make that person happy, then that kind of gives you the motivation to clean that stuff up within yourself, because not only are you doing it for you, but you're doing it for the other person as well.
Right. Because as soon as, and he talked about, you know, people projecting things upon him all the time. As soon as we start projecting our fears onto our partners, our romantic interests, et cetera, et cetera. That's when we run into a world of shit, you know,
yeah.
Because that's never met well. Even if someone covers it up well, it's just never, because it's not a good exchange. It's something that we have to recognize as it comes up, as we're about to do it, and be vividly aware of it and be like, don't go down that path, because that's not healthy for anybody. And I think a lot of times we, you know, and this goes to the point of spending the time clearing the things inside of you, and with that is the practice of becoming as authentic of an expression of your true self as possible each and every day, right? And being as truthful with your every breath, your every step, your every interaction as you can, again, because we're unprogramming ourselves from a lot of programming that made us tell little white lies or tweak little things and manipulate situations to help keep us safe or whatever the case, or approved, or fill in the blank, right? So before we go into a relationship, or as we're preparing ourselves to allow for that to enter our lives, I think it's paramount maybe to not be putting on a show, right? Like, to show up as authentic as possible in the beginning, right? Like, wear the clothes you're always gonna wear, you know, like I'm not saying show up ratty on a first date. I'm not saying that at all, but like, just be who you are. You're not trying out, like don't embellish the resume, right? Like, just be you and allow that person to see, as hard as it is to be vulnerable like that, especially with a new person, right? But I think that the payoff would be insurmountable if you're able to show up totally as naked as possible. Now, folks, put clothes on your first date. You don't want to get arrested, right? But as naked as possible, and allow the dance to unfold in the most natural and unadulterated kind of way. And hopefully you've attracted someone that's willing to do the same, or they recognize that in you and feel a safe container, so to speak, that you're providing for them, because they identify that in you and they're like, wow, he's really showing up raw. Well, how would
I think too, I noticed, like, for me, relationships and people have always shown up when I wasn't trying.
Yeah, what's that all about? Why does that happen?
I think it's because we're open to it, and I think the other person responds, like you were saying, you're not pushing anything. You don't have an agenda. You're almost in a state of surrender. You're like, like, who I'm with now. I dated some people and I was pretty much done. I was like, you know, I'm kind of done with this dating thing. I think I'm done for the year. This was around fall of 2020. And I'm like, I've been through a lot. I went through a breakup and then dated a couple girls after that. And just, no, it was all just disappointment. And I was just kind of tired of being disappointed. And then I just kind of went in with this date with no expectations. I kind of expected not to work out. I was just kind of like, whatever. I don't care. And I'm not trying to get my needs met. I'm just going to be there. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be authentic. I'm not trying to put on a show. I really don't care one way or another. If I'm not your guy, if you reject me, fine. I'm not trying to win anything. You know, I'm just going to be myself and I'm going to be open. I'm going to be in the moment and with an open mind and loving heart and just go with that.
And what happened, Ray?
Well, I end up getting engaged.
What? We were going to wait till the end of the episode, folks. But Ray, congratulations. Happened on New Year's, right?
Right. Happened on New Year's. Yeah. She didn't even see it coming. So.
Nice. Way to knock her out.
Yeah, she said
yeah. Way to knock her. Oh, good. Yeah. Way to knock her out with your authentic and unconditional love. Now let's go back to that, and folks, please leave comments or questions, because I feel like this is another episode we need to explore. Maybe, no, there's no maybe about it. We need to do this, right? Like, is, because it's out there, and sometimes it could be semantic based, and what we get caught up in the, you know, in the words, right? Is there no such thing as unconditional love? Because people, there's an argument, like I said at the beginning here. You'll say, okay, my dog, unconditional love. And I love my dog. No matter what my dog does, my dog shits on the floor. My dog just is lazy on the couch. Like, I love my dog. But you're expecting something from your dog. You're expecting your dog, when you feed your dog or whatever, to come and, like, you know, rub on you. Or when you get home from work, you expect, there's, you love the dog, but you love the dog because the dog does stuff for you. It fills this need. And that's the argument. But I don't know how I feel about that argument.
Unconditional love, 100%, wholeheartedly exists.
I love that you're saying this.
Without a doubt in my mind. Without one doubt in my mind, it exists. I mean, I think that's part of what my experience was with Ramdas, was him loving me. And that opening that up. And that's really what that experience brought out in me. And like I said, everybody that I've ever loved, that love is still there. Mm-hmm. It's not about getting something. It's not about getting your needs met by that person. You love that person regardless of that. It's just that love is there. But it has to be, because that love is who we are. So you can only understand that based on the level of which you know yourself. If you only know yourself as the body, as your desires, as your psychological thoughts, then you're not really gonna, you may know that, you may touch on that every once in a while, that your heart may open. And I guess that's what you called a spiritual awakening.
Yeah.
Is when that heart does open and you feel that love, that grace. And there's no like, why am I feeling this love? There's nothing happening to me. There's nothing like, there's no logical explanation for it. Because it goes above the logical mind. Logical mind can't grab at it. You can't understand it.
That's really what
spiritual awakening is the heart awakening on that level, and awakening to a vastness that goes beyond the mind.
10 minutes remaining. Thank you, Zoom, for the reminder.
I am grateful for Zoom, though, folks. Let it be known. I mean, we've built the Bodhi Bros on Zoom. So thank you, Zoom, for the free platform until we're able to afford the premium service. Ray, I love that you share that perspective. And again, it's another episode for a deeper exploration for a different time. But I feel that way about my daughter. I've explored this many times over. I don't expect anything from her. I don't need anything from her. If I don't see her for 2 or 3 years, which recently happened, I loved her every day. Were there times where I was sad? Absolutely. Were there times where I was confused? Sure. But I didn't stop loving her. In fact, I think that time apart made me love her even more. You know, and find ways within myself to heal things within myself that may open that connection in a way where if I healed, you know, I'm healing the traumas of my ancestral line, and maybe that would bring her closer to me. And it did. Any of the work that I did on myself, I would find, and we've shared this in previous episodes, doing some shadow work, doing a completion process, whatever the case may be, parts work, whatever you're into. Sometimes you'll that phone will ring, a message will get sent, and from that person you most want to connect with, and you weren't doing the healing to make that happen. It just ends up being a byproduct of, like he said in the video, clearing space for that relationship to come in and blossom. Because maybe you had too much, and that's not to blame yourself. Like, my daughter hasn't called me in 2 years because of something I need to fix. That's not it. But say there is a separation and you want to reconnect by going in versus, as he said, grasping externally for ways to change or alter or fix things. That just pushed her further away. Because I experimented with stuff like, I'm like, maybe if I send her this, maybe if I do that, it'll. But back to the subject of unconditional love. I have to believe that I can enjoy this in a relationship, a romantic relationship, because I've witnessed it with my daughter. If I can have this with my daughter, I can have this with any other human being on the planet. There's no reason why.
Definitely. I can't. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's part of what a lot of times our relationships are with family members. They teach us that unconditional love. But a lot of times we can only get that with our parents, or maybe a sibling. We see that, or maybe even a pet opens us up to that. But when we get into a romantic relationship, sometimes that doesn't, we come with different needs and different expectations than we do. And sometimes those get in the way, and those kind of create a blockage or an obstacle. So I suppose
a blockage.
A blockage. But I like I Christian Dawson is someone though that I've been wanting to get to for a while.
Yeah.
I do like his down to earth approach, the way he talks. I did meet him once in Maui.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did meet him. Took me a while to get into his music and the whole Kirtan stuff. But
I have no experience with him. If I've heard one of his songs, I didn't know that I was listening.
Yeah, it took me a little bit to get into it, but I had some help there on the, so he was someone I was trying to get to. Sometimes it's a little hard to find teachings of his. He doesn't do a lot of teaching, really. He does mostly songs. He was nominated for a Grammy at one point.
Oh, wow.
And then
so is he the rock star of Kirtan?
Yeah.
He's the guy. That's okay. Him.
Yeah. He went to India. When Ram Dass went back there the second time to India and met Maharaji. He was actually, I believe he was recruited for Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, wow.
Back in the day. And then this is before he went to India. I think that's what it was. It has to be. And at one point, and then he went to India and he learned did all the chanting, was given the name Krishna Das. I forget what his American name was, but came back and then started doing that and started out small and then it just grew and grew and grew.
Yeah. Yeah, I love these video reviews that we do. Not because, like I said earlier, Ray or I are not doing them to gain popularity or to bite on the back of any fad or ride the momentum of some upcoming spiritual teaching star. Usually it's stuff that was made years and years and years ago. One of the reasons why I enjoy doing it, I can't speak for Ray's experience, but sure, if you'd like to, you could share. I just wanted to lean into the mic there, Ray. Is that we always come out of them. I always come out of them. Sorry, Ray, with questions. You know, I'm not really if I ever take notes, which I didn't this time, but if I ever do, my pad's usually filled with questions, not statements about what I saw. Right. And that's mm-hmm. what I think that's the markings or the makings of a great teaching or teacher, is that questions come up for you. It's not necessarily answers. It's questions that you get to sit with and ponder, because the answers are in you, and the answers for everyone are going to be different, you know, depending on where you're at and who you are and what your life experience has molded you into up until this point. So yeah, go watch the video and see what questions come up for you. That's what I would say, right?
That's a great way to approach this video, or any of these videos, because you just don't want to be one of those people who just adopt other people's perspectives and other people's points of view about everything.
Right.
You know, you want that to kind of, that question to come up and for you, and to search within yourself and what's true for you. What's true for you might not be true, what's true for me might not be true for you or for whoever, any video you're watching, this one or any of the other ones that we've reviewed.
And I did appreciate that about his demeanor, his presentation, just the way, his whole vibe, right? He was just like, hey man, this is what I, and even with his language too, he's like, go and grab it and use it up. And then, he wasn't being disrespectful. He was just saying, this is my perspective. And I enjoyed hers too, because she was visibly confused. And, she was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's not what I thought, but all right, now I get it, And I think the two of them created a nice, honest exchange, for the
100%. I like his, sometimes I like listening to Krishna Das talk more than Ram Dass, because Krishna Das is a little more down to earth, a little more grounded than the early Ram Dass stuff, which was really great, excellent stuff, but sometimes it's a little up here.
Well, I think we can lay this one to rest with a minute and a half left. Let's see. I'll post all the stuff down below, folks. You can follow, click on our link tree and then follow us wherever it makes sense. If you're not already, Spotify, YouTube, Instagram, all those delicious places. And the link for this, the video that we reviewed, will be there as well. It's been a pleasure sitting with you, Ray. Congrats again on your on your awesome news. And my heart was very full and excited for you to hear the story today prior to the recording of this episode. And from our hearts to yours, get out there, get under the sun, get under a tree. Ray, you know, like to say, get under the one you love. And we love you. I'm John with a J.
Phoenix Ray. We out.
We're out as soon as I can find the button. There's the button. Button.